know that we have talked about the lectionary before. That is where our scripture reading comes from. But I don't like to assume that everyone remembers what these kinds of churchy words mean. So, a quick reminder of what the lectionary is. The lectionary is a three-year cycle of scripture readings with four passages that are assigned for each Sunday. Usually those four readings include a passage from the Old Testament, one of the Psalms, a passage from one of the Gospels, and then a passage from one of the letters in the New Testament. Now there are four Gospels, but only 3 years in the lectionary cycle. So Matthew and Mark and Luke each get a year when their Gospel is highlighted. And before you start feeling too badly for John, that he has somehow been left out of all of this, let me tell you that because his Gospel doesn't get its own year, readings from John are inserted into all 3 years of the lectionary, often during Advent and Lent. So while Mark is the Gospel that we are going to be hearing a lot of this year, this week's scripture reading and the reading that we heard last week are from the Gospel of John. Last Sunday we heard about the cleansing of the temple and how God's love can stir things up. This Sunday we're going to hear a passage that includes what might be the best known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. And we're going to talk about how love shines. Now, our scripture reading today is actually part of a longer encounter that Jesus has with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a leader within the Jewish community, and he comes to Jesus in the darkness of night. He is really curious about Jesus. So he comes with all of his questions, and he and Jesus have a whole conversation. But one that seems to leave Nicodemus with more confusion and questions than he came with. At the end of their exchange, in the reading we're going to hear today, Jesus tries using a different image to try and help Nicodemus really understand who he is and what it means to believe in him. The image he uses is one of the major themes in the Gospel of John, the image of light and darkness. Now, in John's Gospel, light represents the realm of belief and darkness the realm of unbelief. According to John, people either recognize that Jesus is God and they walk in the light, or they don't. For him, there is no gray area. But one of the things we have learned over the past 2,000 years of Christian history is that faith isn't quite that clear and simple. So instead of us trying to divide the world into two camps, those who walk in the light and those who don't, maybe it's helpful to remember that all of us have both light and darkness within us. Maybe we all need to let the light of Christ shine more brightly in our hearts and through our lives. So listen now for the word of God in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, But those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Would you please pray with me? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. John 3:16. That is probably the most widely referenced verse of the whole Bible. From bumper stickers to highway billboards to game day poster boards back in pre-pandemic days, John 3:16 seems to pop up everywhere today. What's interesting is that even 500 years ago, Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. John 3:16 is a verse that offers great comfort to Christians, reminding us of the amazing love of God and the beautiful promise of eternal life. But John 3:16 has also been used to offer judgment, reminding those who do not believe in Jesus that their fate is not eternal life, but death. This verse is often lifted up as some sort of test of faith, as an absolute statement about who God loves and who God rejects, about who is in and who is out. So John 3:16 has been both an inspiration for faithful followers of Jesus and a motivation for some of the greatest damage done in his name. Now, part of the problem with this verse is that it is so often taken completely out of context. We have to remember that John 3:16 is not the end of the story. John 3:16 is followed by John 3:17 and 3:18 and 19 and 20 and 21. We make John 3:16 into a statement of judgment when we stop reading with that sentence. But John 3:16 is not the end of the story. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. But it goes on. Remember what comes right after this. Remember that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We need John 3:17 to remind us that God did not become flesh and live among us in order to judge us. God became flesh and lived among us in order to love us and bless us and bring us into the light. Now, another problem with John 3:16 is that we often forget what the word believe means in the Gospel of John in particular. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. The verb believe appears more frequently in John than in any other New Testament writing. But the noun faith is completely absent. Verbs imply action. So we need to remember that John emphasizes not just faith, not what we believe with our minds, but how we live out our faith, how we live out our lives. Belief and good deeds are intimately connected in John's understanding of faith. John invites us not just to believe in the light, but to live in the light. He invites us not just to believe in Jesus, but to be Jesus' body in the world today. There is a story I love from the Hasidic tradition. In a mountain village in Europe, many years ago, there was a nobleman who was concerned about the legacy he would leave to the people of his town. So he decided to build a synagogue. In the course of his planning, he decided that no one else would see the plans for the building until it was completely finished. So he put up a wall around the building and began construction. All of the workers were sworn to secrecy. Day and night, they worked until that new synagogue was finished. When the work was completed, the townspeople were excited and curious about what they would find upon entering this new building. They lined up early in the morning and anxiously waited to get behind the wall. The doors opened and the townspeople began to enter, and they marveled at the synagogue's magnificence. No one could remember so beautiful a synagogue anywhere in the world. And they admired the intricate designs and the beautiful windows. They were in awe of the craftsmanship and all of the attention to detail. But then, noticing what seemed like a flaw in the design, one of them asked, "Where are the lamps? Where's the light? You built such a beautiful building and you forgot to put lamps here so that we could see when we worship. How could you do this?" And they began to laugh at the man. But he held up his hand to silence the crowd, and a hush came over the congregation, and he pointed to brackets that were strategically placed around the outside walls of the synagogue. He gave each family a lamp. And he explained, "Whenever you come to the synagogue, I want you to bring your lamp, and your light will fill this place of prayer. Remember that this community is relying on you for your light. Your community is relying on you for your light." Indeed, that is true for us as a church. Each one of you plays a role in this community of faith because we need your light. We need the light of God's love that shines in and through you. Our community is made brighter when we shine together, and so we look forward to the day when we can all be back here in this place where you can all bring your light back into this church, and this place will shine more brightly than we could ever imagine. That day is coming, and it will be so good. But until then, maybe it's also good to remember that the light of God's love is still shining even when we can't all be together. Because the light of God's love is shining in you. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to offer us life. But God so loves the world still that he lets the light of Christ shine in and through each one of us. And right now, the world needs our light. The challenge for us in the weeks and months ahead, the opportunity really is to figure out how we can best shine the light of God's love in everything that we say and do. Because what matters is not just our faith that we believe in our minds. What matters is the faith that we live out in our lives. And there are ways for all of us to share our light with the church, even if you are not here for worship on Sunday mornings. So maybe you're going to be a Holy Week helper and shine the light of God's love to our whole church family as we put together gift bags that will help us worship together during Holy Week. Or maybe you're going to shine the light of God's love on our church's lay leaders and staff through our Let's Show Some Love initiative with the Facebook posts that go up every Monday morning. Maybe you'll help us with our upcoming Lenten offering, which is going to be an amazing opportunity for us to shine the light of God's love on frontline healthcare workers who have worked so hard over the past year. We are going to show some love to our neighbors right across the street at South Shore Hospital, and we will share those details with you so soon. Or maybe you're going to reach out to family members or friends, a coworker, maybe even a stranger who simply needs a word of encouragement or a reminder of your care. Maybe you are going to look for goodness and grace and beauty and blessings in the world, and you're going to share what you find on Facebook or Instagram as an antidote to all the divisive and disrespectful posts that are out in social media these days. Maybe you are going to smile, even when you have a mask on your face. You are going to smile so brightly that God's love shines out of your eyes. Friends, God did not become flesh and live among us to judge us. God became flesh and lived among us in order to love us and set us free, in order to bless us and bring us into the light. So friends, it is our turn to shine now. Let us light up the world with God's love through everything that we say and do. Let us show the world what it means to believe in Jesus.